Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling. I'm Anna Scheller, and there she is. Stephanie's here somewhere.
I'm Stephanie. I'm here.
There she is.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, totally mind blank there. This is a great start.
It's a new year, new you. We are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about taking you to the next level in growing your income through sales, training, and coaching. On Black Belt Selling, we share content and interview experts to help you kick through those obstacles that are keeping you from reaching the next level. And Stephanie, I am ultra excited about our guest. Daryl has been on our program before, and he always brings such wonderful insights to our listeners, especially because he's focused on helping small business owners and really any business owner grow their business. And so it's always an absolute pleasure to have him. And, you know, I know that he's on his way, so I just want to take a minute to share with our audience a little bit about him. He is the CEO of Pax Financial.
Pax Financial Group. Yes.
Yes, and he actually has a park in San Antonio named after him.
Uh-huh.
He has a mission to educate entrepreneurs on the fundamentals of building business from a Christian perspective. He says that many families strive for the American dream of owning a business. Unfortunately, the business schools fail to teach those basics. Additionally, many business books focus on the entrepreneur being the source of wisdom, joy, and peace. And the lessons he points to are that God is the only source of those character qualities.
And I think, Mom, I think we've actually got him. I think we've got him on the line with us right now.
Daryl, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Together.
Together, right? We are really excited. I apologize for the kerfuffle this morning. Long story there, but you're here now, so that's what's important. And I'm really excited to have you back on the show with us, not just because you have such great content to share with our listeners, but because you make it so interesting for us to listen as well.
Good. Well, I'm happy to be here. I look forward to hanging out, and I've been stalking y'all on Facebook, so, and on Twitter, and y'all are good at social media. Y'all know how to play that game.
That's good to know. I've been stalking your book, your new book launch on Facebook. Well, not new book launch, but your relaunch of Small Business Big Pressure. And if I saw correctly, you guys sold out within just a couple of hours, right, of the launch?
It really did. I mean, Amazon doesn't know how to anticipate interest, and it did get a lot of interest, and so and it's ranked high right out the gun, and it's that's a blessing. The reality is what's really cool is that the feedback I'm getting from people that have read it is similar to the feedback I get from the workshops that I've done. That was the genesis of the book, and they're really one of three things. It's interesting because I wrote the book just because I wanted to serve, but there's three different ways people have read the book. One, I've had some people read it and say, I learned something about business and finance. I just really didn't know how to learn from smart people, so they learned something. Number two, they might have been encouraged and inspired to take some next steps in their life. And the third group is a group of people that have actually cried reading the book. Some of the stories in there, and I didn't anticipate that, but I knew that I had to be courageously vulnerable when I wrote it, and I'm certainly encouraged by all three types of feedback from a book, a business book, and it certainly blesses me when people share that with me, and it's neat to just see the different ways people read it. Any way is fine for me.
Yes, and you know, I have to tell you, last year, because you'd given me a copy of the book, and I was going through a rough time with an employee, and I actually am going to ask you to elucidate some of the points of the book, because I think they're really critical for people to understand. But I was having difficulty with an employee, and I thought, you know, I bet Daryl deals with that in his book. So I dug the book out, and under the section about dialogue, gave some very clear and helpful advice to help me get through that difficult situation with the employee. So this is not a book about theory. This is a practical, very usable, real book that anybody could take this. And especially if you are struggling in business, this is a powerful book to help you get there. But, you know, Daryl, I know you weren't always successful in business. I'm sure you would like to think that, but we all would like to. But tell us just a little bit about, you know, how you came to discover these principles yourself.
Yeah, so, you know, it's obviously a journey of life. And over the years, I think there's been a couple revelations that have taken place. You know, I think it gets to the point where, you know, you just look up and say, you know, I kind of know this stuff. And it took me a long time. My wife always says, Daryl, you know what you're doing. And, you know, you just, even when you know and you know, you still have a degree of self-doubt. And it's unbelievable how that creeps in. And so my wife's so encouraging because she'll always say, Daryl, you're good. Remember, you're good. I'm like, oh, okay, I have to remember I'm good. But, you know, I think there gets to the point that you realize that you're an expert in your field. And that's one important step is when you're an expert in your field. But here's more importantly, people need that expertise, right? And you find a way, regardless of money, to serve them. And so a book, frankly, doesn't make me money. I mean, it does. You know,
no.
It's not bad. Don't get me wrong, but I have a business. I have a company. I'm doing well. The book is not, and there's not a big intent behind me being an author for the rest of my life. The book was designed when I recognized, okay, I'm an expert in my space. There's certainly people better than me. I'm not saying that, but people need some information, and if that's the case, then it'd be like the story of the talents where I don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And so I felt compelled to do something with it. So that my initial reaction was to teach workshops in the community. Those workshops filled up, and the feedback I would get from those workshops were just really encouraging. I would have dialogue with entrepreneurs and small business owners across the country, and it was just really encouraging to help them just put one foot in front of the other. And then when I looked at all the content of the research and the homework and the books I read and the papers, I said, you know, I really need to package this in a way that more people can be served. And, again, it's not like a silver bullet book. It's just a book of some of the things that I've done that have helped me along the way, but more importantly, the dependence upon God in each moment of the pressure of being a small business owner.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think you're kind of hit the nail. I don't think there's a silver bullet for, you know, as much as I'd love to find that silver bullet for every small business owner and give them, you know, the, you know, one answer that's going to solve all their problems, I think it's really a matter of finding the combination of things. And you're right, it's exactly what works for you. And there's a lot in that book that works for me. There's a lot in the book that works for Mom. There's a lot in that book that works for a lot of people I know. But you know, everyone has to look at what's going to work for them. And I think it's perfect that you put out exactly what did work for you.
Yeah, I find that to be true. You're right. It's, you know, because some people are in different stages of their business, and some people are just starting out, and other people are more established. And there's chapters in there that work for all different kinds of people.
Yeah, much agreed. Now, one of the things you do talk about in the book is the clear, repeatable cycle in every business. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that and maybe elaborate on what that cycle is for our listeners, give them kind of a foundation for your point of view here?
Yeah, no problem. So I was looking for a silver bullet, and it typically leans me into finances. So And I've done this in whenever I do investment management, which is my trade, I would always look for just things maybe under rocks that people didn't look. And so I would always look at ratios. And I always found ratios to be a good way to find evidence that otherwise wasn't so obvious. So I always start with ratios, which is really nerdy, but that's just, you know, how it's trained. And so I was looking for ratios that would be the silver bullet. And I started there in some benchmarking studies and just some research. And I couldn't find anything. But I was talking with business owners and really staying in the small business space because that's where I enjoyed. And one of the things I recognized was there wasn't necessarily a silver bullet, but there was a clear, repeatable cycle. And it goes like this. Most business people, they start out wanting to or needing to define their destination, casting a vision, recognizing that where they're at in their current situation is not good and that they want to go somewhere else. And sometimes that destination is not about them. In fact, frankly, it's even better when it's not about them, but rather it's about something that's missing in the marketplace that can only be filled by that person. So whether there's a product or service that the community isn't getting, and that person, that entrepreneur, has the vision to say, you know what, I can serve that community, and my destination, I can see it, I can taste it, that's the first step, is just recognizing that I have a calling. I'm going from here to there, and the way I'm going to do that is to serve the community by solving problems. So as they start to go down that journey of defining their destination, and they're doing a good job taking care of clients, taking care of customers, dollars are a reflection of their effort. It's kind of a reward for good work. So that becomes another challenge, is, okay, how do I manage my money? You know, do I need to set a sum aside for emergency funds? Do I take on debt? Do I pay down debt? There's just a lot of confusion in that area. Not only is there confusion of how to get the thing off the ground, defining destination, but the next step of managing dollars, that's obviously confusing as well. And then the third step is, you are making money, which is cool, but you realize that time is more important than money, and you don't have all the skill sets to do everything you need to do. So you typically hire an assistant or a virtual assistant, somebody that can help take the load off of things. And so this is dialogue, because this step is less about hiring and more about just good communication with another person. And there's some specific things that you need to do, not only in the hiring process and the onboarding process, but also the development of that person. Then the last step is identity, and this is when you say, you know, I need another person. So now you got three, and you're starting to create a culture. And this is very important, because if you don't establish the culture in the beginning, you could have some challenges. But the unique thing about being an entrepreneur is you have the ability to express your own unique identity through an organization and influence lives. And so doing that and being intentional about that creates the identity. The things that you believe in are expressed through this entity called a company. So those are the four phases: destination, dollars, dialogue, and identity. And those phases occur when you start the business or you launch new products or you enter new markets. And any time you move from one phase to the next, you create an incredible amount of worry, pressure, and confusion. It always exists. And I've seen small business owners experience this. All entrepreneurs experience it. But how they respond to it's been differently. And I've just been really concerned, because some small business owners will pacify the pain through a bottle of tequila or through disconnecting through their family or other things. Maybe if it's even they decide to take out the stress through work or overworking. But they're all responding to some degree to this worry, pressure, and confusion. And my suggestion is all that stuff's futile. And so the case that I try to make in my life, because I can only say this is what worked for me, is that moment-by-moment dependence upon God is the only solution that's sustainable to respond to that worry and pressure and confusion. So that's a long answer to a very short question.
No, it's a very good answer to a very open dialogue. And we're at the halfway point, and I really would like to give you an opportunity to share with people, you know, now the book has been sold out. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, that you can still, if you go on Amazon, once you can certainly buy it, and then Amazon will ship it once they get restocked. And then the Kindle version's available already, obviously. Can't sell out a Kindle, I don't think, right?
No, hopefully not. I'm getting ready to launch my book. Kindle, I hope not. No, and a website where they could maybe connect with you personally, because you still do your workshops, right?
Yeah, so smallbusinessbigpressure.com. I'll do a couple this year. And then, you know, the LinkedIn's great. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, that's a very professional way to connect. And then Twitter's DarylWLines.com. I tend to lean into LinkedIn more than any of them. So that's if they want to get my workshops, I typically put there, not on Twitter because Twitter's so global and my workshops are local. Until I do like a Periscope, I'm going to keep them local.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Y'all Periscope?
Well,
y'all Periscope?
I'm huge into Periscope. I've actually built an entire following. I've got people in Ireland who follow me out of Periscope and the UK, and I have a fan base now in Europe, all out of Periscope. Yes.
That's so cool.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So, Daryl, if you know, when you're ready, give me a call, because I can definitely get you pointed in a good direction. And,
hey, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I think your whole book, though, getting back to your book, your whole book is really about a relationship with the Lord in terms of business. And today I did a staff meeting. We had our first staff meeting of the year, and I told my girls, because there's always phases, or there's always place for everything of the four phases of the cycle, but I talked a lot about identity, because we live in a culture that is very much very distrustful of people. There's a lot of scamming that goes on, and a lot of it goes on the internet, and you know, people are very wary, and so they want to build relationship, and you need to build your identity. And yet small business owners, often in the pressure and the worry and the fear, they will neglect the very source of their power. And I was hoping that you maybe could talk more about that. Who is the source of our power? Where do we get the wisdom, the knowledge, and the identity to be able to reach people and meet their needs and serve God?
Yeah, very good question, and one that I really was troubled with for many years, because I had more of a fatalism type of Christianity, which means it's really a theology that, and I didn't express this, I didn't know it, but it was basically where God kind of, almost like a basketball player, puts the world on his finger and spins it, and so we're up to our own. And so I was challenged. I had an experience, and I shared this on your last show, that transformed my way of thinking, and it boiled down to me unpacking Jesus and really asking myself if I buy what he's selling, to use a business term.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the scriptures that I wrestled with, I had to reconcile and decide, you know, do I really believe this to be true? One of them was John 15:5, and I'm the vine, you're the branches.
Mm-hmm.
Those that abide in me and I in you, they will bear much fruit. And then the latter part is, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that apart from me, you could do nothing was something I really struggle with, because, you know, there's plenty of people scoring touchdowns without Jesus. Handful of them point their fingers up in the air, and some of them kneel, but many, most of them don't. They just do their celebration dance. And so many people do things. But so I really had to understand, what do you mean, apart from me, you can do nothing? And so I tried to understand some things in the Bible. One of the things I understood is the fruit of the Spirit, which is talked about in that same verse, is and I'm going to reference these. And they sound kind of like really foo-foo, but it's really important that people understand. These are really, really, I mean, it's amazing. I just think still every single one of these are amazing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control, faithfulness. Those are all fruit of the Spirit, but what happens is I deal with people's finances. I talk to millionaires all the time, and I talk to them about their money all the time. And they're doing things without Christ. So, you know, Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But they're doing things. But the problem is they're not experiencing, if they're not depending upon Christ, they're not experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and self-control. Frankly, I've seen a lot of millionaires have money but lack peace. They're just agitated. They're discontent with life. Nothing is in there. And as you said, they're always looking over their shoulder, thinking somebody's going to – they're irritable. They think they're always threatened. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't care how much money you have. You can't experience joy independent of me in perpetuity. And so I really started to believe that. And not just – I didn't just believe it from a cerebral perspective. I had to reconcile it cerebrally, but I also took inventory of my entire life and the relationships that I had with people who had stuff, who didn't have stuff and had a relationship with Christ. And I just made an evaluation. I said, you know what? I buy what Jesus is selling here. Apart from him, I can't have peace. I've tried it in other ways. I can't have generosity. Mm-hmm. I've tried it other ways. And so I started to say, okay, well, how do I – What does that look like? What are the practical steps as a go-getter, get-her-done kind of guy? What's the most practical thing that I need to do? And again, unpacking Scripture helped me understand that it's not having an annual plan of knowing who Jesus is. It's not reading the Bible every day. These are all good things. But here's the most important thing. It's moment-by-moment dependence upon him. And that's what it came down to. And it was, do I trust him in this moment or not? It's not if I trust him next week. It's not if I trust him in the next moment. Do I trust him now? And a byproduct of me trusting him was those fruits. When I trust God, I get to experience peace. When I trust him, I get to experience generosity. Not just for me, but for the people around me. And that's transformed my life, but it's also transformed a company. The people that work for me now have a leader who leads not just in fear, but who leads in peace. And yes, there's times where it's, you know, stressful, but it doesn't sustain like it used to. It wasn't a constant worry as an entrepreneur. I mean, the market, we manage people's money. We manage $300 million, and the market's down a lot this year. I'm not the same man as I was 7 years ago, where I would perpetually worry and make decisions based on fear. And that's only a byproduct of being trusting God in each moment. So again, a long answer to another short question. Sorry about that.
No, I think that's perfect because, you know, we ask questions to kind of pick over your brain so that you can share, you know, what you've learned from your experience in building a business for these people. Now, I know we're kind of running out of time here quickly, so I don't know if you can wrap this next question up into 2 or 3 minutes of an answer, but I get a lot of questions from people. You know, I'm a business coach, business advisor, work with businesses to help them overcome the problems that they don't know they're going to encounter. And everyone's always asking me, what's the biggest mistake or the biggest issue you see among small business owners, kind of universal? What would you say the biggest mistake or the biggest issue small business owners create for themselves is?
Yeah, just a very practical one real quick, and that's just paying their taxes. And it's, you know, there's a lot of different mistakes, but I'm going to go with something that's very concrete. And we have a lot of taxes to pay now. We got franchise tax. We've got property taxes. You got to take inventory of all the stuff that you have in your office and pay it to the county. You've got sales taxes. You got income taxes. You've got self-employment taxes and Social Security taxes. There's just a lot, and it gets confusing. What some entrepreneurs do is they pass it along to a bookkeeper or somebody on staff or even a CPA, and then they get out of sight, out of mind, and say, oh, they've got it handled. And then they look up a year from now, and it wasn't handled, and they owe $10,000, $100,000. And then this just creates so much stress and worry. And so I'm going to suggest that's probably one area that an entrepreneur needs to stay more engaged with their accountants and the people that they trust with their money. Stay engaged, just make sure that they follow the old adage that worked for Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. So that's just an easy, practical thing that they can do.
Awesome. Very, you know, that's so true. I've been in business a while, and we had a year where we showed profit and ended up owing $10,000 in taxes. And the $10,000 in taxes was, unfortunately, a very, very unpleasant surprise. You know, and we're dealing with it, but it was, I looked at my husband and I said, how come we were showing a profit and now we owe all this money? But it is true. I mean, it can happen to anybody. It really, really can. And that what you just shared about that is a lesson that I've had to learn. So really, in conclusion, yeah, you know, how come it is that we're teaching the lessons we learned, Daryl, huh?
I know.
So one of the things, I think the thing I love the most about your book, Daryl, is not only do you help people see this cycle and you identify it clearly, but you at the end of every chapter, you have beautiful short prayers that someone can look at and say, so here's one prayer. So you give an action item, and this is for dialogue meets technology. Write down all the practical events that take place in the company, then create systems for everyone to follow when one of those predictable events occurs. And then you give a prayer. Lord, your people in the Old Testament had many systems to worship you. You are the master of all systems. Give me knowledge on how to build our company systems. And you know, Daryl, I think that the prayers encapsulate the heart of your book. They really do.
Thank you. Thank you. And the intent of every prayer is for me to recognize that he's the source of everything. So if you recognize there's no prayer that says, help me to do something, because I don't want to be the source of anything. So every prayer recognizes that I'm not the source of accomplishing anything. So check that out and audit me and see if I messed up. But I know I didn't.
No, I will. But we want to give you an opportunity again to promote the book, to let people know how to connect with you, and before we have to give
how
this
to grab a
wrap.
Yeah, so smallbusinessbigpressure.com is the website. If you come by my office, I'll always autograph books. People come by from time to time. And then LinkedIn's very professional. I love LinkedIn. Very easy, very professional. Twitter, Daryl W. Lyons. And then they can get the book on Amazon. Any feedback, you know, if people reach out to me through my website or through other social media, I typically respond. I like to hear words of encouragement and success stories and things that people are doing in life. So if any of your listeners do reach out, I think I respond to everyone, even the rude ones. So but I love to hear the encouragement.
Well, I can tell you, Daryl, that literally changed my life. And I'm grateful that I can call you a colleague and a friend. And I can read your book for just the right information when I need it. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, and your love for Jesus.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. And those are very kind words. It means a lot.
You're welcome. Well, Stephanie,
I think we're about done. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this week. I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to learn, to grow, to make a difference in your business, in your sales, and in your life. Because whether you're a sales rep or whether you are a business owner, you are running a business, and that is your life. And how you decide to run your sales business, whether you're working sales for someone else or running it for yourself, you will receive results that compare to the effort and the planning that you put into it. So congratulations on setting yourself up for a great year. I encourage you guys to join us again next week. We're here every single Friday at 12:30, and next week we have an amazing guest joining us. This is actually a referral from Daryl here, and he's going to be talking about inbound marketing, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear when I interviewed him to prepare him for this training. I was absolutely blown away at some of the content, some of the ideas he had to share. You do not want to miss it. If you think we deliver great content at least once a month, this month we're going to get it at least twice because we have two stellar guests, Daryl and next week as well. So don't forget, come back, join us. Join our Facebook group if you want reminders every week, www.facebook.com/group/blackbeltselling. We'll also post links to all of Daryl's contact and the book in the group. So if you didn't catch it earlier, you can catch it there. Thanks again, guys, for taking time out of your day to join us. We look forward to escorting you through 2016 and making it an awesome year. I'm Stephanie, here for Anna, and honorarily we've got Daryl with us today as the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Thank you guys so much, and make it a great week.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.